Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is May 8th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing okay. I gotta say, I feel like I'm in an unsafe work environment where you got the safety sign and it's like X number of days since an audio mishap. I got to my trip. I flew. I was packing last night. I usually keep everything in my backpack and it's like there. And I was like trying to fit everything into so I didn't have any checked baggage. I don't have my golf clubs with me. And so I'm like, you know, figuring out a new place that I can put the drone because the drone's its own bag, you know? So yeah, I put it into my back. I took the audio equipment out of the backpack, put it in. And I'm like, I'll put the audio equipment in the carry-on, open it up, getting ready to set up, excited about this pod. No mic. Leave the mic at home. I guess they're all integral parts. None of the audio equipment works without any of the parts. Somehow I forget the mic.
So you got the other pieces, but just not the end piece, the mic, the last piece.
I've got like four mics. I'm not going to go spend $100. I'm sorry. No. Sorry, listeners.
No. I'm not going to run out.
I'm not going to Uber out. I don't have a rental car. I'm not going to Uber out to a Guitar Center and spend $100 on a new mic. I got to say, though, happy birthday. Birthday boy, it's a birthday pod. It's your birthday. Happy birthday,
remember that?
Brendan. I hope I have it in my calendar. I save people's birthdays in my calendar.
Really?
Oh yeah. This is so I don't forget these things.
I have no hope
if I don't do this stuff.
I mean, how about we just not make a big fuss about wishing each other happy birthday when we get to a certain age? I'm sorry. I don't remember it. Like, I don't know. Thank you, though. That's very nice of you to remember that and say that. We're a birthday podcast once upon a time.
We are a birthday podcast.
You know,
we still are a birthday podcast.
We are a birthday. We got to get back into that maybe occasionally. We landed a sponsor. I had a good dinner with the sponsor at a Lookout Mountain at Chattanooga a week ago with our Smith Devereaux wine sponsor. Came in because you were mad about me wishing too many people birthdays. So, yeah, it's mine. I'm old. I don't need a reminder anymore. So, we'll see. Just another Wednesday. I love that. You are in your AirPods. So, we apologize for the audio quality. It's going to be better than the car in Northern Ireland because we each have AirPods this time. We each have a microphone, so it will be better. I might have interviewed someone today about audio quality, audio production or something. Some of it sounds professional. Others, I would say, like shotgun, it's not real professional. It's like, well, what are you trying to say? I mean, that's kind of a feature at this point. This is kind of like what we're going for. Like, well, yeah, you know, then there was the one outside of Belfast. I was like, all right. I know that. Like, come on. That's low blow. We know it was unlistenable. We tried. We made an effort in the car and we tried. But it was interesting to hear an expert talk to me about our audio quality.
We're trying hard, okay? This is a podcast with high effort. You know, we're like the team. We might be a little short on talent. We don't necessarily have the superstars that other outlets have, but listen, we try. We lay it all on the
floor.
We're
grit. Yeah, we got grit.
They're kind of like you're fighting calves. You're fighting
like
calves.
Like Deladova.
Going into Boston tonight.
I don't know about that. We'll see. Fighting might be too strong a word. We'll see how much fight they got. I don't know.
You know, I just got off the phone with somebody that might be tied to your opponent.
Okay.
And he was, I was asking him how he felt about the
Joe Mazz or
yeah, it might
Jason
have been Joe
Tatum
Mazz.
Or okay.
Joe Mazz, right. You know, played golf with Joe Mazz right before he got his job, right? But when he got his job, you know, JJ Redick, he likes to talk about that round of golf on podcasts, but he always leaves me out.
So Redick's on his pods. Dropping about how he played with the Celtics, would soon to be Celtics coach, and there was another person in the group. It might have been you, but you always get left out. You
always
never make it in the story.
Anyways, the guy was celebrating the fact that Dean Wade, the mighty Dean Wade, is out.
He body bagged the Celtics, single-handedly body bagged the Celtics on a whatever random February night or something this year. Dean Wade, I think Kansas State's whatever finest.
Just
ridiculous.
I love Dean Wade.
Bigger loss for this series, Kristaps or Dean Wade. You never know. It's one or the, you know, tomato, tomato there. So, yeah, I'm not optimistic. I was thinking for a minute, I was like, you know, Porzingis is hurt. And then you just start listing off the guys. And it's like, they got the wins, you know, but they've had the wins now for like 6 years or whatever, 5 years. And then it's like, oh yeah, but Drew and Derek White, and it's just going to throw so many guys at our guard. It's just, they got a lot of guys. They're good. They're the best team in the NBA for a reason.
They got a lot of guys to throw at Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll see. We might have some house cats. I hope we play all right. We'll see. We'll see. I'm not optimistic. The odds are ridiculous. It's like, plus 1800. The other series are fabulous, though. The other three. So
we got a lot to talk about.
Where do you want to start? Should we start with Nelly Korda's attire for the Met Gala? You want to just be a fashion podcast right now? That was
big news.
Catnip. That was cool in a way. I mean, golf making an appearance at this pop culture moment. We don't need to get into shouting about it. Did you see the television schedule? We'll get to schedule for the week this week.
No.
I wrote about it for the newsletter. Didn't plan to. Nelly Korda going for a sixth win in a row. Superstar got the invite to the Met Gala. The LPGA on Golf Channel this week gets 2 hours of tape-delayed coverage at night for all 4 days behind a senior tour major. "Quote unquote major Regents tradition."
Which one tradition. Is it? The Regents.
Down at Greystone.
We got invited.
We got invited to the pro-am there.
I forgot to email him back.
You think Barkley or Nick Saban, the other people who play in that thing, email back? They got a guy who emails back for them. But yeah, we didn't get back to him on that one. So
you know, I see all these people writing about AI email responders, you know, people AI just taking on their email. I think I might need to do that. Yeah.
That sounds terrible. That sounds like a bad idea. That might commit you to things you don't normally commit to. Right?
Well,
I don't
think you're supposed to like train your AI. Apparently you can like train it to, you know, effectively respond like you. Which would a lot of cases be
dubious.
Like, Just unread. Sorry, I'm unable to make a decision right now.
And therefore, I will never reply. So we got 2 hours of tape delayed coverage. That's a disaster for the LPGA. That's a disaster for Golf Channel. I don't know. Anyways, that's terrible. Behind the opposite field event, which we'll get to, it gets jammed by that and jammed by a senior tour event. I think it's just a ho-hum LPGA event, but it's not when you have a player going
moment.
For six in a row. So,
well, you know what it's time to do?
What's time?
It's time to fire up the cock. Get the peacock going.
There is a little bit of that, and I think in the afternoon. If you're looking for cock in the afternoon, there is LPGA coverage on your streaming service or device, whatever it is, maybe. So that's going on. Nelly Korda's at the Met. We'll get to schedule for the week in a little bit. Where do you want to start? You want to start at a critical moment? Should we start with substantiated and unsubstantiated rumors for this week?
Well, I critical thought we could just stay in coverage corner and get Sam Flood. You know,
sure.
Do you want to stay in coverage corner?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, let's do it.
This is insane article on golf.com. Sam Flood goes up at US Open Media Day and meets with the press to unveil their US Open lineup of hosts. And then he takes a media, rare media appearance to bat back some of the accusations in Golf Digest. But while batting back the accusations, I thought he made himself look really bad.
I would say on balance, comes across as got out of her skis on a few different occasions. Nitty gritty stuff that like kind of isn't the biggest part issue. I had some television folks. There's a quote in there. Television folks reach out to me. There's a quote in here. He says, apparently he's been on the defensive about him not being into golf. And he goes, I'm a golfaholic. I belong to two great clubs. I love to play and I grind like a maniac. Television person immediately texts me like, oh, he's going to rue the day. He's going to regret saying that because everyone who worked the rank and file below him, everyone in TV at his level belongs to fancy clubs, right? But you don't talk about it because people who are grinding get freaking pissed when you talk about playing a lot of golf and where you belong. So that was, I think, a minor mistake, whatever. Fancy people in executive positions belong to nice golf clubs and play golf. But I don't know. Apparently, you're not supposed to talk about it, given publicly.
Here's a quote that I had a problem with. I think if we find the right person, we'll hire someone full time. But right now, we think for the audience, they're benefiting by hearing all the this different perspective. And it's kind of fun every week to figure out who's going to be on and how it all meshes together. For the rest of this year, we've got this going on.
It's kind of fun.
But who knows what's going to happen next year?
Who knows?
Oh, it's lovely to have no clue who's going to be on the television and listen to people trying to figure out chemistry back and forth. Have to talk for hours on end at events. We don't want anybody to build any chemistry. We should just have a guest in there every week, you know? Why don't we just get real wild and bring Nick Saban in? I get that maybe you haven't figured out the right person, but to just act like this is a great time to be a golf fan because we're trying new people out and you get to hear new people. Don't gaslight us. This is insane. He's trying to act like listeners and people just are idiots. Like, you think somebody's going to read that quote and be like, you know what? My favorite radio show, I love when the hosts that I listen to all the time are gone. I love that. It's my favorite radio show, but I love when they're gone. That's my favorite time. Like, nobody says that. Nobody says that. They like to know. When they turn on the TV, when I turn on the NBA, I am excited when Mike Breen is on the call because I might get to hear one bang. And maybe bang. If it's a Knicks game, I get a double bang, you know?
Bang. Yeah.
I love when 90-year-old Hubie Brown is on the call. I love it. I like cackle. I laugh. I'm like, how's this guy still calling games at age 90? I like that. People grow affinity to regularity. This is insane. Also, let me just keep going here.
Okay, go ahead.
On the cost-cutting stuff he talked about how they're, you know, hey, listen, sure, we've taken away stuff from week in, week out stuff, but we've added stuff at the big events. So he talked about how the players was great, and it was from all things I saw, it was great. It was great coverage. I watched Sunday. I rewatched Sunday, and it was delightful.
Yeah.
And that was great, you know. But you can't take stuff away in 2024.
What if you're the PGA Tour? What if you're American Express or the title sponsor or the tour, your rights partner, be like, oh, like
or
we kind of are de-emphasizing that. We don't really care. Like we know some events are better than others, but. If you're going to half-ass...
He admitted to taking stuff away. It's all this stuff is going on in sports. Could you imagine if in the NFL it was like, you know what, guys, we're going to take away a couple cameras during the regular season, but we're going to give you more in the playoffs. That's not how it works. They keep everything status quo. They might add stuff to the regular season, and they add more to the playoffs. You don't take stuff away. It's 2024.
They're working with only so much. I don't know. Yeah, it's...
This article made me more upset. It made me more angry because he was trying to, like... He was trying to rationalize all this stuff and act like the consumers are just idiots.
It was a pushback on the Golf Digest article from whatever it was, like now 10 days ago, saying they're bean counting every little thing and cut nickel and dime.
And he admitted to it.
Which he says is a completely false narrative. We are investing and looking at opportunities to grow the game, make the audience bigger. Tommy, that's Tommy Roy, has had more assets and resources than he had in the last few years. That is maybe throwing someone else under a predecessor. I don't know if they even still work there or what, under the bus. This is Tommy Roy. This narrative was accurate for several years about stuff being taken out of the broadcast. It was, but Sam has switched that around. We're getting the toys back. That may be true, I guess, for some events or I don't know, but NBC is definitely like, let's be honest. I think shouting about coverage, and I wrote this for the newsletter, is sort of a scapegoat for a lot of times when the product stinks anyways, right? Especially like with the LPGA. Like people yell about how there's not enough coverage for the LPGA and they need an extra hour here. And it's atrocious this week. Like it's worthy of shouting about. But like we use that as a scapegoat for conversations that are harder to have about, you know, the product sucking or there's a star not appealing to people or a course or the schedule or whatever, or the rounds being too slow or there's just a lot of other reasons. So people, but it's not as fun to shout about that on social media. But NBC, like the Ryder Cup was bad. It was bad. It was overdone with ads.
Didn't invest in that one.
Kind of an object. They didn't travel to it. They sent people abroad to either the Open or the Ryder Cup. That's a cost-cutting thing.
Wasn't the players.
And so, I don't know. I think shouting about coverage gets a little tired, but like they have been scaling down a little bit. And they admit to sort of, you know, reallocating stuff and like reducing stuff at certain events in this article. I don't know. It's that like touting not having an analyst as some sort of feature, not a bug, was a tough one for me. It was like hard to figure that out. Right. I think like. Like if you had it, like the Azinger thing fell apart because the negotiations got kind of like hardballed, right? And you don't just ditch your lead analyst in December, like because it was in the plans. And I would say the one thing that left me like kind of confused is this is a James Colgan article again, golf.com. Why would NBC want to invest in golf right now? Why would any broadcaster? He posed that question to Flood. He grinned. I'm a Boston boy, Brady and Belichick. When they won their 6 Super Bowls, what did they say? Do your job. We've got to give Bill the weapons. We'll give him Brady. We'll give him Welker. We'll give him Gronk. We've got to do our job. I don't like that's a non sequitur. That doesn't like I. He asked why would you invest in golf right now? And we're talking about the Patriots like slogan. I was just confused.
The Patriots of yesteryear.
I didn't get it. I didn't get the point. What is that? That doesn't answer the... I don't know how that's relevant to the question that James, I think, must have posed him. And that left me like sort of like, do they not want to invest in golf anymore?
It was like when you get to the end of a statement that you don't really believe in and you just kind of try and trail off.
Just do your job, man. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, we've kind of like... Fire Joe Morgan, this thing line by line, it just left me sort of like unconvinced. I do think like, and now we're going right into a week where, man, they're going to get it for the LPGA schedule. They're going to get it. You have a potential six in a row situation. They have tape delay coverage from like 9 to 11 or 8 to 10 p.m. at night. Like they're going to get crushed. I think
but they got the cock though.
They do have that. By and large, like what people, it's so easy to scream about the coverage, no matter the network. Like I might have my like Golf Channel in our lives has been a credit. Like, it's been good. Like, it has misses for sure and bad, bad things in its history books, like with shot makers or whatever. But, like, by and large, for golf fans, like, it's amazing that we have this channel. It's been misguided at times. But this week, I think this interview combined with the LPGA thing, they're going to kind of get popped. I don't know. So, that's that. That's your slant. Their announcement, I think they've announced it since we last broadcast, the four-man booth. We're going four wide at Daytona. We've got Tirico and Faxon. And
they're doing evens and odds, right?
That I'm wondering about. I guess I'll use that. The even odds strategy in which play-by-play broadcasters and analysts are paired based on odd and even numbered holes.
So they're going to be coming down the stretch on Sunday, and we're going to be passing it back between Faxon and Brandel based off whether they're on 15 or 16. Brandel's talking as somebody walks from 15 green to 16
green. When's the baton handed?
And Faxon says, hold up, it's my, you know, they're yelling in Brandel's ear, get off, it's Faxon's time to come in.
It's like a relay race. Did they jump in the pool before they touch the wall? You got to just make sure that, I don't know. Maybe it'll be revolutionary. I don't know. The even odd thing seems just like we're just like come like throwing something against the wall.
Do you think they flip a tee for who's even and odds every day?
I was trying to think about it. Like, it could be cool. It could work if like you had a on the ground guy that watched a hole, right? Like, yeah. Was dedicated. Like, that is where I think it would be, like, somebody who could offer insight on how that hole or what was going on with the certain, but it's kind of like they're all in the tower just switching off, you know? And I thought I was trying to think of like where it could really change the game or be revolutionary. And I don't know. I don't know what that is, but you got Brandel and Faxon.
What does this mean for live from is my question. Is Brandel not on live from for the US Open?
Well, if he's paired with Hicks, I mean, Hicks is the guy. Hicks is the guy who does the 18th hole. Like, he plays it out on Saturday and Sunday night. And if Chamblee's with him,
he'd be doing the 17th hole. It'll only give him 15 more minutes to jump off if he's not on 18.
I mean, he gets screwed having the par three. You got less shots, less time. Like, what is the, like, you know, this is like an alt shot strategy. We got to figure out who's better with what.
They're breaking it down that, like, you get this many shots if you're on the evens, this many on the odds.
I think they'll probably, Brandel's maybe done this before, I feel like, and they just shuttle him over to live from. I don't know. They'll shuttle him over and he'll jump in.
McGinley about a long day.
Yeah.
But he always has those handwritten notes before live from. He always
Shakespeare
takes pictures
quotes.
Of them.
And Aristotle said this.
He doesn't have time to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. The four man, like, they're all pros. I like all four of those. I mean, I like them. But that's announced. That's since come out, I think, since our last episode. As is this interview,
like,
as has.
I feel like three could work well. Four's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Well, that's why they're going back and forth. You know,
it's like,
one's
it's
doing
like these halftime shows that we have that you got like six guys standing up there for 6 minutes of coverage. It's like, so everybody gets 15 seconds.
It's interesting. We'll see. We'll see it in action here in, I don't know, a month and a half. Apparently they've known this for a while. An interesting interview. That was a lot of,
I didn't expect to talk for 20 minutes about the coverage.
I know, neither did I, but it was a big article today. So, one thing we can talk about today is our Red Rooster Golf Club. I played last week, not normally a golf club guy. I went to it's getting humid. It's very humid already around here. We're still early May, very humid. So I went to the golf club last week. I went to my Sussex, had that dialed in on Friday. You go to redroostergolf.com and use the promo code 50FRIED. That's 50FRIED, I believe. Or no, SGS50. I guess either one works. SGS50 or 50FRIED, whatever you want to use, your choice, dealer's choice there. You get buy one glove, you get 150% off. Look, there are these massive corporations just sucking every bean counting and sucking every kind of, you know, cutting everything dry and every little corner of the golf world dry. Red Rooster is not that. They're dedicated to the glove. They were a small brand, small company, but pros who came up playing looking for the perfect glove, understanding the pain points of shitty gloves, and trying to figure out how to perfect it. They have now done it for several years. This isn't like your first run. This is their thing. They're golf sickos. They're a brand that people who listen to this pod should support.
Exchanges are easy and free, no cost, right. Free shipping. There's all kinds of good stuff in here. They finished first and second place in My Golf Spy's best performance category for 2022. They beat out all the big brands.
I love that.
This is like from Kickstarter. This is an entrepreneurial dream. You know, buy your gloves from somebody that it really is going to make an impact from. Like, you know, these are really good gloves. I really like the Sussex. I'm a big fan.
RedRoosterGolf.com.
People were hammering me about a glove I posted on Instagram. Listen, I wear my gloves out. I do not change my glove until it's absolutely dire, much like my equipment. You know, so don't pop me about my glove that looks very worn. It's holding up just fine. I have a very delicate grip. I don't rip through gloves very often. So my gloves last and they're just fine. Don't worry about my glove game. All right. Red Rooster's got me dialed, locked in.
RedRoosterGolf.com. Buy one, get one 50% off with SGS50 or 50FRIED, whatever you prefer. Where do you want to go next? Should we talk about where the PGA Tour is now with its board deliberation?
I wanted the unsubstantiated, substantiated rumors. Let's talk about that.
Got some good ones about Quail Hollow. We'll get to later and schedule for the week. So what's going on with the PGA Tour board? You had the Ewan Murray report that's now like 3 weeks old. And then he said the vote was supposed to happen Wednesday of Zurich week. There's supposed to be a conference call on Monday of last week. Now, presumably, a lot of the fellows are together at a signature / elevated designated, whatever they're called, event in Charlotte, Wells Fargo, or soon to be Truist or Trust. They've got a new title sponsor coming on, another bank. They're apparently in Charlotte, but what's going on? This is now 3 weeks of Rory's back. The call is this week. The vote is this day, or the and now here we are. We're going to be probably Wednesday of Wells Fargo week. There's little clarity. What we understand and what we've heard from a few different places now is like, it's kind of known, right? Like, can't lay. Rory, maybe not on the same page, going back to when Rory was on the board. Do you think Cantlay, Tiger, Spieth, like, are essentially stopping, like, just not letting this pass through? Because Webb was like, take my spot. I want you back. Take my spot. And Webb apparently is still, you know, holding, wants that.
Apparently, yeah. I don't, from what I gather, it seems like that's what's going on, is that on one side of the fence you've got PGA Tour sponsors maybe even saying we're not going to negotiate.
It sounds like there's critical, I heard of one today that's a title sponsor of multiple events, so you can figure that out, who's up for renegotiations. These sponsors are like holding out until you get Rory back on the board. What's going on? Why has this not happened yet? And so the tour is at a pretty, I wouldn't say dire, but critical moment of major sponsors. What's with your board? We want Rory back. What are you guys doing? What's the fighting? What's the holdup?
Not to mention just every day that this goes by, every day that they just sit on their hands, more golf fans are losing interest. More golf fans have the opportunity to maybe start to watch live, like all this stuff. Like, you got to get this stuff
done.
It's
not that crazy. Yeah.
You just, this isn't the time to sit and stand over shot and waggle and pitsy patsy around like one of the players that might be blocking this likes to do before he hits a shot. So I just think it's crazy. I reached out to someone who would have intimate knowledge of what's going on. I got no response, which, you know, the silence is usually a deafening that, you know, something's going on. So I don't have a lot of hope for, it just doesn't seem to me, and this is my opinion of the situation. So I just want to, you know, like everybody's right to their opinion. And you could think that Cantlay, Spieth, and Tiger are on the right side of this thing. But to me, the idea of trying to do this without some sort of resolution with Liv is absolutely insane. Like,
do you think they're trying to do that? You think that's their position?
I think that the position is to be very status quo. Things don't change much around here, and they come back on our terms. There's no, hey, let's get together and figure out how to bring this back. That's just generally the general sentiment that I feel is going on, is that they're, you know, I think that they're, I don't know. I read into Tiger's quotes from when he spoke at, I think it was Riviera, just about, he was very much in the boat of like trying to retain status quo in history. And it's like, what history is there, A, with the tour? They basically destroy history.
The CJ Cup by Byron Nelson.
Yeah. The Western Open, the LA Open. Like they just kind of have this habit of really, you know, doing the opposite but the idea of like the current setup with the title sponsors, the 72 hole stroke play every week in, week out, 45 tournaments a year, that doesn't seem like it can sustain itself. But I don't know if they necessarily want to rock the boat. And listen, like, change is hard, change is difficult, but this can't go on the way it's going on.
And we're just talking about a board seat here. And I think, like, let me try to take like the most hostile view to Rory. Like that guy is an idiot, or he's a F that little leprechaun. Like, you could hate him personally. But I just think, like, trying to be as effective as possible as a board, you wouldn't turn away like Arnold Palmer in the 60s. You wouldn't turn away Ernie Els in the 90s. Like, you, like, this is a superstar leader of the game, but not just that, like, someone who has been on the ground in every single battle and meeting and discussion for the last 2 to 3 years. Has talked to Yasser, seems to have somewhat of a relationship with Yasser. I think, you know, as Ewan put it, he's like one of the few people that would take his call, and probably wouldn't be the case for Patrick Cantlay or somebody. So you can hate him and think he's, you know, effed up this, that, or the other. Like, the most negative, like, the board is probably better served, and it doesn't make him the dictator. Like, why are we dicking around with this? Like, well, why? Like, this is so indicative of the sort of dysfunction. While you have title sponsors telling you, we're not proceeding until this is resolved, and you get them back in, allegedly. Stop dicking around.
The other thing is a board, the point of a board is to have different perspectives.
That's like very simply good point.
At the core of why you form boards is to get different perspectives. So it's valuable to have people that might think about a situation differently than you are. Now, like, I think obviously there's a lot of money at stake. There's a lot of egos, and, you know, professional golfers have like some of the biggest egos. And I think, like, probably on the side, like, there's probably somewhat, maybe some of the, like, Cantlay and Tiger feel like Rory went behind their back a little sometimes, like, that he's talked to Yasser on his own. You know, maybe that's one of the sticking points. If I'm trying to think about it from the other angle,
Yeah, I mean, he's probably said some things in the press that have made it harder, you know, piss him off or whatever, that kind of thing. Yeah,
but this has been a really long saga, and guess what? That guy has been out in front answering questions, unlike all the other chuckle Fs on that board. They've just sat behind, skipped press conferences, and given non-answers and not ever actually stated where they stand on situations.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy that we talk that it feels like a very critical moment for the tour and its future. And I know we've said that probably weekly over the last 3 years, but this one just seems illustrative of not dysfunction, but some real problems right now. And I don't know, some guys watch too many episodes of Succession and think they're, you know, whatever, Lucas Mattson now or something maneuvering around. I don't know. It's
who would Cantlay's
I don't know. I need to think about it.
Maybe Lucas Mattson.
I need to think about it.
I think that would be a good one.
Yeah, it might be it. I need to think about it some more. Who's Pepe Peter? Shiv or
cousin
something
Greg.
Like that? Yeah, cousin Greg. Mom scans. Yeah, we'll have to do that another time. But before someone else does this.
Pepe Peter as Wobbscams would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he ends up rising to power at the end of the day.
Webb might be like Connor or something. I just wants everybody to hang out. Rory, take my spot. I'm out. Like, get out of here. Like, he just wants to be a passive guy. You know,
wants
quote
to
the
run
Bible.
For, wants, just wants everybody. To run for president at Quail Hollow so he gets his sponsor's exemption every year.
I don't know. It's just like, get it done. It feels sort of like, you know, I don't want to say it's inevitable, but Rory's probably going to go back on the board if the sponsors and Fenway and everybody wants it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Tiger's definitely the old man who just like pops in and out and just is like a wrecking ball and like might change his mind a lot about what he wants to do and just torments everybody else involved.
Just goes by feel. Like you might bring him the data, all the quant, might bring him the analysis. Someone's like, no, I don't know about that anymore. And then just switches on you. Yeah.
There we go. Adam Scott? Who's Adam Scott? That's the last one.
We'll do more. We'll Kendall do and we'll do more. All right.
Rory might be Kendall in this whole thing.
The eldest boy. All right. Let's get to schedule for the week. Then we'll do some news on the exemptions to the PGA.
Hey, do you want to do in and out alternate now that we're in?
Yes, let's do it. I forgot we're doing that. Yeah, let's do in and out alternate.
All right. I didn't think too many of them.
All right, good. I have two. Well, we have the Myrtle Beach Classic. This is at the Dunes Golf and Beach Club in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's an inaugural appearance for this. Wait, it's not opposite field event. I forgot about this nomenclature. Capital A, additional. Capital E event. Additional event. What? I forgot that was made up. Additional event. Not opposite. Okay.
All right.
What do we got? Event. Who's in this or who's not? And who might be an alternate? As we know, you throw out names. I got to guess from these absurd field lists sometimes. So.
All right. We'll start hot. Richard S. Johnson. Dick Johnson, a favorite of this game.
You can't have in-out alternate without Dick S. Johnson. He's out. I think he was out a couple weeks ago. He's out.
Right. You're one for one.
There we go.
All right. Hot start. Brian Davis.
Back in the low country. Should have won at Harbortown all those years ago. He can't be involved in this. He's out. He cannot be around the tour anymore.
He's in. He qualified.
No. Oh, he Monday'd in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a little curveball. That's doesn't have status. All right. Okay. All right. You're curveballing me. Okay. All right. All I think right. I got that. I think that counts as a half.
No,
all right. Come on.
Son of the swing surgeon, DJ Trahan.
Just a Carolina favorite down there, Clemson's. Donald Rowland's got to be in. DJ Trahan.
He's in.
All right.
Two for three. All right, King of the Mules, Mr. Mule himself, Ryan Armour.
King of the Mules. At least you're the king of something.
He's not the king. Maybe he's just the forefather of the Mules.
He's in. How can he can't be?
He's an alternate. He's falling that low in the mule rank.
Not good. Not good.
He was first alternate when I did this, so he could be in by now.
Could be in by now. Yeah, yeah.
All right, flying up the board. Two for four. All right, let's go with Jonathan Bird.
Was just in as a sponsor at Punta or whatever. Yeah, Punta Cana. Come on. Another Clemson guy. I'm going to go in.
He is in.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Let's keep it rolling here. George McNeil.
Every time I just die.
He's got the perfect name for in and out roll.
Yeah. Old Jorge. I think this is a bait and switch. I think he's out. George McNeil's out. You're just trying to bait me into saying it. He's out.
You're right. You're not falling for my traps here. So we're four for six. You're four for six.
We're hot, baby.
All right, Kevin Kisner, part-time broadcaster.
Yeah, yeah, another South Carolinian. Kevin Kisner. He's in.
All right. Another he's one.
In. All right.
All right. Adam Svensson.
A guy who's won in the last 2 years, maybe RSM Classic. In. I'll go in.
He's out. He's in the top 50 of the FedEx Cup. He's in all the opposite field.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
I Svensson? Got you there. Yeah.
Okay. He's out. He's in the signature event?
You know what I did is I went into the signature event. I found the most nondescript
top 50
person in that field that I could find, popped him into this. You know, right. There's a little trick of the trade here.
You got me. Yeah. You
all right. Five of eight. All right. Let's go. Eric Van Rooyen.
Varen, this echo. LT1s, not his signature shoe.
I gotta take a picture, put it on the shotgun story. Those my shoes, what I realized, have custom, you know, where you put your insoles that are Eric Van Rooyen themed. They've got like guitars on it. It's like that's all incredible. EVR themed.
That's great.
I can't believe he doesn't wear the shoes.
Well, they're trying to push the LT1 right now, which I would agree with. That's a great shoe. EVR, he won in Mexico. He's in the signature event. He won in Mexico. He won.
No, he is in this week's Myrtle Beach Classic.
Wow. Wow. He's in all the majors, but he's not in the signature events.
I just, you know, I'm just
cutthroat. Cutthroat. I like that.
Got you. Got you in just the blender here. Yeah, I got you in the spin cycle.
You, flicked,
you weren't expecting the big names in here, you know?
Yep.
Five for ten. All right, back to more our normal in out alternate. Yeah. Dutch boy, Ricky Barnes.
We haven't had an alternate yet. I'm gonna go alternate.
Out.
Oh wow.
I couldn't.
This must be
it.
A fairly strong quote unquote additional event. You know, back on U.S. soil, hotbed of pro golf there in kind of the Carolina and Georgia coast. Maybe it's stronger. He's out. All right.
All right. 5 of 11 below the 500 mark. We got two left. You got two to get back above 500.
Okay.
Adam Long.
Adam Long. We got our eyes on Adam Long for something else. He's in.
He's an alternate.
Okay. missed this.
This is such a strong field for an
additional event.
For an additional event. All right, last one. You can't get to 500. Bill Haas.
Wake Forest boy from, you know, the Greenville family, I think. I'm going to say in, just being from in.
There you go. You're 6 for 13. Wow. You got it. Now, Haas is in. I am proud. This is the first time in shotgun start history. I'm awarding the Myrtle Beach Classic event of the week.
Wow.
I want to commend them because they managed to get a halfway decent field for these additional opposite field events. This is the strongest effort at putting together a field we've ever seen, and I had to award them event of the week because of that.
Wow, good job. Maybe it shouldn't exist, but we event of the week.
Yeah, Blades Brown.
We like this course too, right?
It's supposed to be pretty cool. I haven't been. I've always wanted to go see this course. It's an early RTJ, which, you know, a lot of people say it's some of his best work. I think like RTJ's design philosophy probably got passed by a little bit by modern professional golf, but I think it's probably pretty delightful to play for the regular golfer at this point, because you're hitting it about as far as tour pros did, you know, and some five handicap that shoots 82 that hits at 310 is gonna be like, I hit it past all the bunkers. But for like vast majority of players, this golf is probably pretty scaled well for you. So I've always wanted to see this golf course. I might tune in even to see some of the holes in action. Wow. But yeah, this is event
good
of the week. Blades Brown, 16-year-old with a great name. First on the scene, what was that, the USAM last year, I think it was?
Yeah, Cherry Hills, maybe.
Yeah.
I think.
So he's in the field. The one thing we didn't bring up was that Kenny Kim making the cut on the PGA Tour last week.
Chris Kim. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, the English kid who was in Dallas. Yeah.
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 They're having a moment between Miles Russell, Blades Brown. They're going young here.
Yep. Yep. So yeah,
event it seems of the like week. All right.
There will be on coverage. It will be on coverage. The women won't, but the Myrtle Beach Classic will be 9:30 to 11:30 on Thursday and Friday, and 3 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday. Elsewhere on the PGA Tour, we have the Wells Fargo Championship at the Quail Hollow Club, every PGA pro's favorite stop. It's a 6 of 8 signature events. Do you know which signature events remain, Andy? We have six of eight.
You got Travelers for sure. You could forget the signature event right after the US Open. Yep. All right, Travelers, and what's the
other
easy.
One? It's easy.
Memorial.
Milkshakes. Yeah, milkshakes. Yeah, we're almost done, basically. So Wells Fargo.
That doesn't seem smart.
What, before and after the US Open?
We're almost done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess the playoffs, everything's a signature event.
Everything. This is what's the slogan? Ultimate is what they impossible or something. I don't know. Whatever
they
it
should
is.
Make the Wyndham the signature event, so somebody from the Comcast Business Top 10 shows up.
Wells Fargo notables: Cantlay, Clark, defending champion, Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, Rory, Morikawa, Spieth, and JT. Good field. Scotty Scheffler's not there. Ludvig Åberg is not there. He just WD'd with a knee issue. Says he will play the PGA next week. So they have 69 players, not even 70. And that's it. It's capped.
This is the
69.
Second time. Who are they putting off solo? Is it Dunlap again?
I don't know. I don't know. Do they have tee times out? I know the Myrtle has tee times for sure. I'm not sure about the Quail Hollow. Heard a good rumor. This is unsubstantiated. So Quail, you know, I think people want you to talk about why we don't necessarily love Quail, but we'll save that for Friday. Like, it's just been, it seems like a great club, really, you know, very nice, very nice. Yeah, great conditions. It's just been tinkered, Taylor Soldier Spy a lot, you know, just tinkered with over and over again.
It's pretty monotonous from what I can tell. I haven't been on the ground.
We'll
you know,
see.
But it's also telling I haven't been on the ground 8 years into covering golf.
You see they're selling hats that just say mile on them in green?
Just could mean anything.
It says mile.
That could be You know what? It could be like the new 13.1, 26.2 sticker. If you can run a mile, you can wear mile hat.
Mile. But Quail, so they have a PGA next year. Unsubstantiated rumor. You know, in the past, when Quail had a conflict, so it were, a President's Cup, they moved it to a different venue. There was one at Eagle Point. Is that the one in Wilmington?
Yeah.
And then TPC Potomac. It's my unsubstantiated early discussion. They're going to pass over TPC Potomac, Avenel. With people are pissed. They're like, you're not going to have an event in the nation's capital, like the United States of America, the capital of the United States of America. We're just blowing past it, even in a chance when, you know, a year when you could create cause to have it there on a one-off. Potentially up for consideration or going back to Austin, CC, because, you know, we need more events in Texas, need more stop. As much as we love Austin, we love Austin, CC.
I mean, if they paired if they paired this with the PGA at Frisco, they could just keep the players in Texas for five straight weeks.
Now you're cooking. Yeah. Yeah. You just get a big rental home in the ranch somewhere and you just helicopter around or something like that.
Speaking of, I'm in Austin for the second of three out of 4 weeks. So I'm hanging out in Texas a lot.
It's interesting. So Austin CC, maybe one unsubstantiated, the other thrown out there, skipping Avenel, pissed off. Philly Cricket.
That'd be sick.
Does that sound plausible for a pro event?
They hosted that senior PGA years ago. It kicked their ass. It was an awesome tournament.
So, I don't know. Early unsubstantiated rumors apparently being bandied about as a Quail substitute for next year. Potomac, TPC Avenel likely not in the running, which whatever you think of the course, I don't know. Just feels like you should occasionally have a PGA Tour event in the capital of the United States of America. But do you have a pick, one and done pick for Wells Fargo?
Yeah, I'm going to take Cameron Young.
Hefty purse.
I think it's, now, we're getting into Cameron Young season. He's played, had a couple good finishes. Didn't play well at Harbortown, but played well at the Masters and the Valspar. So rolling in there.
He's the king of a couple good finishes. That I feel like wins.
Rory's a good pick this week. It's his favorite course. I think
$20 million purse. It's good money.
Yeah. By all means, it sounds like Rory. Like, we couldn't tell. We didn't have any shot data. We didn't know who made birdies at Zurich. But Lowry was quite effusive that, you know, Rory was carrying the team.
Well.
Okay. Yeah, and he played well before. I think that's one thing to like really watch this week is. I mean, we're going into PGA and U.S. Opens around the corner, and you know, I think that's without Ludwig and Scotty there. This is, I think, Rory's the main story here.
Yeah, it is a course where you kind of have to do everything well and have a good hot putting week. You know,
well, you have to be able to chip from rough well.
Yeah, that's to pop it out.
Which is probably what you're going to have to do at Valhalla too
next week. Oh yeah,
I think this is probably a good primer for Valhalla.
I'm going to go with Xander as well. It feels like we have back-to-back PGAs or back-to-back Wells Fargos almost. Right. You know, between Quail and Valhalla. I'm going to go Xander. I don't know if I used him already.
It's the same golf course, just in different locations.
Moderately different, you know. Louisville, Charlotte seem of a sister-like nature. So yeah. I'll go with Xander Schauffele, you know, runner up last week, just kind of let go of the rope on the back nine last year with Wyndham Clark. But obviously having a pretty good year and a guy that's ripe for these kind of big money events. I'll go with Xander Schauffele. Continuing our schedule for the week, LPGA Cognizant Founders Club's Cup, 7 to 9 p.m. Golf Channel tape delay, 8 to 10 p.m. Golf Channel tape delay on the weekend. Talked about that earlier. Obviously a massive moment for Nelly Korda and the game, I think, if she can keep that rolling. If she can't, then that's, you know, pretty normal, not winning six in a row. Regents Tradition, you have the senior tour. That's a Greystone, I believe, down in Birmingham. That's on 11:30 to 2, and then 5 to 7 p.m. finish on the weekend. I think hasn't Steve Stricker won this like three or four times in a row? Notables are Alker, Clark, Ells, Furyk, Jimenez, Lahner, Leonard, Singh, Stricker, Toms, and Weir. So that's going on Golf Channel, the Senior Tour's first major of the year, the Myrtle we talked about. I think that's your full schedule for the week. News? The exemptions for the PGA Championship.
The Live Boys got all their exemptions they've been asking for.
Essentially. Talor, Don't Call Me Taylor is in. I don't know that like... Mean Dean Burmeister, Adrian Marunk, Patrick Reed, Lucas Herbert, Taylor Gooch, were seven invitations this week. We had Neiman already get an invitation, and David Puig already got in, who, like, I was wondering, like, huh, that's, like, interesting. Do they just, is that a prospective invite? But you, like, look at his OWGR profile outside of Liv, he's 106th in the world. He's 106th in the world because
he's playing a ton of stuff.
He won in Malaysia, and he's been in the top 10 in, like, three straight other Asian International Series events. So, yeah, he's probably should be in at 106, even without getting points in a lot of the starts. Gooch, I don't know.
Louis turned down an invite.
Do we have clarity on that? Yeah, that was the big omission.
Coming out. Maybe Bob Herrig had something around that.
Because he's been kicking ass, winning everything in like South Africa.
He probably wants to go hang out on his tractor.
Kind of weird. You know?
Get back to the tractor.
But you got an invite to a major. You're playing all right. You're a good player. Go play.
Listen, Brendan, sometimes the tractor's calling.
I just think like these guys are fueled by grievance. And, like, it's getting harder and harder to feel aggrieved about everything. Like, I don't know that Gooch has played well enough to get an exemption. I know he did last year. He's had some above-average results this year. Not even tried to play anything else, like a Neiman or a Puig or anything else. But he got his exemption. Now he's kind of got to go and play. If he plays well, that's even further proof he should... You know, maybe get a U.S. Open exemption too, but probably not.
It's going to be a lot of pressure the way he ran his mouth. It'd be a bad look if he misses the cut.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah. And Luke Donald is also in. There's some, you know, we don't have a U.S. Open or a U.S. Ryder Cup captain yet. I don't know what's going on with that. Luke Donald's doing activations at Bethpage.
Might be knocking on the door asking to be considered again.
Who?
Zatch? Loves his exemptions. Yeah, Zatch. Do you think they'd have him back?
I don't think they're running that back. No, I think that's done and dusted. All right, I think that does it for this Wednesday episode. We got a few more things we'll push to Friday, talk about then. Everyone enjoy your Wednesdays. We'll be back with you then, end of the week.